Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
In the name of Jesus, open our eyes to see wondrous things in your word. May the things we see strengthen our relationship and help us serve you better. Thank you for everyone joining in the service. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you and you may be seated. Amen. All right. Really, my intention tonight is to talk about another of the parables of Jesus, which we find in Matthew chapter 25. And tonight we're going to talk for most part of the service about the parable of the talents. Everybody say the parable of the talents. Oh, say it again, the parable of the talents. All right. But last week we were looking at the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, what most of us know to be the parable of the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. There were a few more points that I wanted to touch on. So I'm just going to do that briefly before we transition into the parable of the talents. Is it okay with you? All right. So we're going to do that. So just to do a little recap, there are 2 places in the Bible where we see that Jesus gave some very long teachings. One of them was on the Mount of Beatitudes. And we find those teachings in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. But later on, there was another occasion when he gave a long teaching. And this took place on the Mount of Olives. And this teaching is referred to as the Olivet Discourse. And he launched into this teaching when his disciples asked him about the end times and what was going to happen. So he said a lot of things and he talked about so many different things. Now, if you look at the Olivet Discourse, his teaching on Mount Olive, you find out that it's made up of a number of parables, different parables. Unlike the teaching on the Mount of Beatitudes, where there was really just one parable, which is the parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder. The wise builder built his house upon the rock, and the foolish builder built his house upon the sand, and the rain came down, the winds blew vehemently, the floods rose. But the one who built on the rock, his building was left standing, and the one who built on the sand, his building totally collapsed. That's the only parable that you will find in his teaching on the Mount of Beatitudes. In contrast, his teaching on Mount Olives has a lot of parables. Some are short, some are long. The long parables are 3. The first one, which we've already looked at, is the parable of the wise servant and the foolish servant. I can't go into that, but if you're interested in knowing what that parable entails, you can check from the podcast and you'll be greatly blessed. Then another one of the longer parables is what we looked at last week, which is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. All right. And then the 3rd of the long parables is the parable of the talents. Now, you read about the parable of the 10 bridesmaids in Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. And the summary of it is that Jesus was explaining what is going to happen in the end times. He talked about the fact that the kingdom of heaven is like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. Verse 4. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. All right. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, that is the five wise ones replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and go and buy some oil for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." Remember that they were bridesmaids for the bride. He was the bridegroom. So when he says, "I don't know you," it's very possible that he didn't really know them. Verse 13 is the last verse. "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." So this is the parable that Jesus shared. And all these different parables that I refer to, the parable of the wise servant and the foolish servant, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, and what we are going to spend most of tonight looking at, the parable of the 10 talents, really had to do with the coming back and the return of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these parables had something to do with the return. I've also explained to you that any parable that you hear, there's a central decisive point. There's a main point in the parable that you must grasp. And in the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the main decisive point is that even if the Lord delays in his coming, we should not drop our guards. We should be ready and we should be prepared for him and wait patiently. That is the decisive point of this parable. There were some lessons we looked at. The first one, the bridegroom in this story represents Christ and everybody else represents the church. The second lesson is that the day will come when Christ will return as a bridegroom for his bride. Number three, no one knows exactly when Christ will return except the Father, but we must be prepared and be ready. The fourth lesson I shared with you last week is that even though we do not know exactly when Jesus is returning, our posture must be that he's coming soon. The fifth lesson, believing that the Lord is coming soon does not mean we should shut down, stop everything we are doing, and go and wait on a mountaintop. No, it doesn't mean that. Number six, there is the possibility that Christ, the bridegroom, may arrive later than we expect, but we must still be ready and prepared. Number seven, no matter how long it takes, that time will come when the bridegroom will return. And the eighth point that I shared with you is that the difference between the wise bridesmaids and the foolish ones was in their preparedness, their ability to think and look ahead. And if you recall, for those of you who were here, I told you a story of the king who had a clown referred to in those times as a fool, and what happened between them. It's just to help us to understand the importance of being prepared. Now, the ninth lesson that we can learn from the parable of the 10 bridesmaids is that those who are not ready for him when he arrives will be completely and permanently shut out of the wedding feast. Those who are not ready for him when he arrives will be completely and permanently shut out of the wedding feast. Those who are not ready for him, that is the bridegroom or Christ, when he arrives, will be completely and permanently shut out of the wedding feast. So in verse 10 to 12 of Matthew 25, it says, "But while they were going to buy oil," that is the five foolish virgins, or the five foolish bridesmaids, "the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast." And notice what happened. The door was locked. "Later, when the other five bridesmaids," the foolish ones, "returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, Open the door. Open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. That was his response. Believe me, I don't know you. And the implication of that is that the door was not open for them, which means that the door was completely and permanently shut out, or was completely shut to the five foolish virgins. Now, these verses disturbed me greatly when I read them. Remember that I said that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and is the one we are waiting for. And everybody else in that story represents believers, the people of God. Now, if they were believers, which is to say that the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins were all believers. If they were believers, how come that the door was shut to the five bridesmaids who did not have enough oil? How come? Why were they excluded? Because they're supposed to be believers. And it really disturbed me when I read it. But this is what the scriptures impressed on my heart when I looked at these verses. You see, there are two schools of thought concerning our salvation. There is one school of thought that believes that once you are saved, you are forever saved. Okay? Are you here? All right. So that's what some believe. Then there are others who believe that it is not a once saved, forever saved arrangement, that you can actually lose your salvation. So there are those who believe that that's it. If you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is it. You are going totally. Now there's an element of truth in it. And there are those who believe that, Charlie, you shouldn't drop your guard because you can actually lose it. Now, when I read the scriptures, when I study the word of God, I tend to believe in the second school of thought, that you can actually lose your salvation. And there are quite a number of scriptures that point to that. I can't really go into that. So it means that we cannot drop our guard. We cannot be lax in our Christian life. We have to do everything that we can not to fall off and not to fall away. Hallelujah. And I've come to realize that if you don't really stay on a high alert and persevere and press on and stay on fire for the Lord, you can fall away. And that falling away is what we call backsliding. Now, there are people who backslide and are able to come back. But then there are those who permanently backslide. But the Christian experience is such that we must do everything that we can to keep the oil burning, which is what the five wise virgins did. They kept the oil burning. They kept that spiritual fervor alive. They didn't lose it. Yes, there were challenges and whatever, but they made sure that they did what they have to do. So that's why the Bible talks about work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. Work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. Why the trembling and fear? Because there is a possibility of losing it. So you must do what you can to preserve it, because what God has to do to guarantee you the salvation has already been done. Jesus Christ has come. He shed his blood. He died on the cross. Paid the price for our sins. He's done what he's supposed to do. But there is a part of this whole salvation arrangement that depends on us, in the sense that there are things that we must persevere in doing. Things like praying, reading the Bible, living right, serving God. These are things that we are supposed to be doing. And the thing about it is that these things that we are supposed to be doing, they are not in themselves the things that save us, but they help to safeguard our salvation. Understand that. Praying, studying your Bible, being involved in the house of God, being committed to the work of God, these are things that help to safeguard your salvation. And when those things are not done, you begin to slide back and slacken. And the frightening thing is that you can slide back, sir, until you get to a place where you've lost it. And that is where now it's like the Lord has come, the Master has come, and there's no place for you. The doors are shut, permanently shut and closed to you. It's a frightening thing. And what I believe God is saying to all of us is that we should do everything that we can to make sure that we don't slacken, we don't backslide, we don't fall away from the faith. Which is why it amazes me when people are not eager to do the things that can help them keep a certain fervor and fire burning. They don't want to pray. They don't want to study the Bible. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to participate in small group activities. They don't want to serve in the house of God. They don't want to join anything. They don't want to invest in the kingdom of God. It amazes me. And you can see that people don't realize that these are the things that keep you on course and keep you on track and ensure that you don't fall away from the faith, because you actually can. More better people than you and I have fallen away from the faith. The people who used to be pastors, they don't believe in God anymore. There are people who were actively involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, they don't believe in it again. And so, God is speaking to all of us that we have to do our best for Him and ensure that we are ready for Him when Christ returns. Otherwise, the door can be completely and permanently shut to us. So we must be ready for Him no matter how late the hour. And as time passes and His arrival grows closer, the need for watchfulness is greater, not less. Because since the times of the early disciples, they were expecting the return of Christ. This is thousands of years ago. They were expecting that Christ was going to return, and He hasn't. It is very easy to now begin to think that, it doesn't look like it's going to come now. But then, is the logical thing not that if He hasn't come all this while, it means that His coming is closer than we think? That's the most logical way to think. Is that not so? And that is why we must do what we can, stay on course, stay in the faith, serve God, be committed, do our best for Him, and be watchful. And the only time we can prepare for Him is now, because if we are not ready when He comes, there's no more time to prepare for Him. So these are some sobering thoughts that should really help us to do our best for the Lord. The 10th lesson, and you can call them minor lessons, but they're still important, is that we may all be walking the same path, but we are all not the same. There are differences. We may all be walking the same path, but we are all not the same. There are differences. We may all be walking the same path, but we are all not the same. There are differences. So if you look at Matthew 25, verse 1 to 2, we read that earlier on. It says that the kingdom of heaven can be... New Living Translation. That's strange. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Now, they were all bridesmaids. All of them were virgins. Because according to their culture, it is only virgins who can be bridesmaids to the bride. So they were all bridesmaids. They were all virgins. They all had lamps. They all were invited to the wedding. They all had the same assignment to be ready to meet the bridegroom when he's coming. So they were all walking the same path. And it looked like they were all the same. All were bridesmaids, all were virgins, all had lamps, all had lights, and all had oil at the point. But there were differences. There were differences. And I want to say to you that it is very easy, you know, when you are in a group, to think that, oh, we are all the same. But you'll be mistaken to think so. You may actually be making a great mistake when you think that, oh, all of us are like this, or all of us are doing this, or all of us are going to end up in this way, because we look the same. But you may be mistaken to think that way. So, you know, I was just thinking about my days in school, secondary school. And I'm sure that all of you may have had a similar situation in whichever school you went to. You'll always find out that there are a group of people who seem to be like the bad boys or the bad girls. And they seem to flock together, all right? So whenever there's any commotion or there's any trouble in the school, you kind of find these guys. They are very loud, you know. And secondary school were those who will always leave campus. Of course, without exit, go to Medina, go for jams, go and fool around, and do all sorts of things. We knew them. It was an open secret. That if there's something bad going on, you find this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy in that group. But one of the things I discovered was that you may think that because they are in that group, and you will notice that a lot of these guys, they don't do well when exams, you know, are written and the results come, you find there are quite a number of them who don't do it. But you will realize that there are also some who do very well. It will be very easy for you, if you belong to that group, to think that we are all not learning. That's not true. Some are learning. In fact, one of the guys that I'm thinking about, I mean, it was not like he was bad or anything like that. But one of the things we noticed about him was that he doesn't come to class. And this was even in sixth form. One day he appeared in a class and the teacher said, who is this guy? But he was often not in class. If you go and follow somebody like that, Obere. Because when we wrote A levels, he had excellent grades. So even though he looked like he was not serious, he was learning. And I want to tell you that people have found ways and means of securing themselves. So, like a story I heard some years ago of a group of friends, you know, like these hey guys, you know, always jamming, going all over the place and having fun and everything. Now one day they were in a car going together for a program, and then they decided to listen to some music. And the guy whose car they were going in, somebody picked one of his tapes. Those days, cassette tapes were what you will find in a car. And when they slotted it in, they realized that it was either gospel music or preaching message. And it's like, hey, why are they listening to this thing? You know? And he said something dismissively. But what they didn't realize, or maybe some of them did, was that this guy, we all seem to be on the same path. It's like we are chilling, we don't go to church, we don't have reverence for God, we are always laughing and mocking Krefe people and everything. But this guy has been thinking, actually, this thing, maybe there's more to it. And it's like the person in his own way is trying to secure himself. I'm explaining to you that do not make the mistake of thinking that we are all on the same path, so we are exactly the same. We are all not the same. There are a lot of members of Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. By the grace of God, we are a lot. Are we all the same? No. It's obvious. If you look at the numbers who come to church on Sunday and the numbers who come on Wednesdays, and it's not just here, find it in a lot of churches. It should tell you something, that we all belong to the church, but we are all not the same. Not all of us are involved in the work that goes on here. But we are all members of Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. Not all of us are involved in serving God in a certain way. When it's time to pray, not all of us are involved in the prayers. When it's time to do outreach and evangelism, not all of us are involved in it. And even the things that are more like fun things that you'd even expect that everybody will show up for, even that one, they are not there. Not everybody is regular in coming to church. Not everybody gives offerings diligently. Not everybody pays tithe. We are all part of a family called the Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family. We all seem to be on the same path, but we are all not the same. Just as there were 10 bridesmaids, all invited to the same wedding. They were all virgins. They had lamps. They had the light. They had oil. But they were all not the same. Because one group had extra oil that secured themselves. I want to say to all of us, that don't be deceived when it's like I'm in a group and we all seem to be on the same path. Don't be deceived into thinking that, you know, everybody is the same, because everybody is not the same. And you have to make sure that whatever you need to do to secure yourself, you do it. Number 11, which is the 11th lesson we can learn from the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, is that do whatever you have to do and do not be influenced by what others are doing or not doing. Amen. Do what you have to do and do not be influenced by what others are doing or not doing. This is part of the problem. With a lot of people. Part of the problem with a lot of people. Instead of focusing on what has to be done. What God is expecting us to do. Look at Micah chapter 6 verse 8. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. From the New King James Version. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly your God. The prophet Micah is saying to the people that God has shown you what he wants from you. And ladies and gentlemen, God has shown us what he wants from us. It is clear in his word. And we must be focused on doing what we are supposed to do. And not become influenced by what others are doing or not doing. And there's a lot of that you see in Christendom. Where instead of people just pressing on to do what God expects of them to do, sometimes they are doing something that is good, but then they look and they say, hey, I seem to be the only one doing it. I don't see a lot of people doing what I'm doing. I don't see a lot of people participating in the church activities in a certain way. I don't see a lot of people coming for weekday services. I don't see a lot of people participating in assembly meetings. I don't see a lot of people serving in a department in the church. I don't see a lot of people joining in the outreach and evangelism. I don't see a lot of people giving offerings and paying tithe. So now it's like, because I don't see a lot of people doing these things that he has shown you, oh man, what you're supposed to do. Because we don't see a lot of people doing them, we get to a point, we decide that no. So you see that there are people who start well. They are active. They are involved. They are serious. They are committed. They are devoted. But then when they realize that I seem to be in the minority, then they begin to tell themselves, hey, this thing, it make like me, I take them too seriously. Like I've taken the thing to World Cup level. Meanwhile, you have more codes. It's okay. I can't do this thing again. So you come to church, you get here at 9:15. When you get in, you realize that a lot of people are not here. You say, hey, me, I've come from far away, and I'm here at this time. There are even those that you start mentioning names. Rose, Linda, Samuel, Muchumudu. These guys, they live close by. They are not in church at 9:15. If they are not here, I don't see why I need to stress myself. Me too, I won't come. Have you realized that that's the way people think? Have you noticed that that's how people's minds work? So that's why I'm saying to you that do not let what you are supposed to do be influenced by what others are doing or not doing. Remember that you will stand as an individual before the Lord, and he's going to treat us as individuals, not as a group. Who told you that when we come, when judgment day comes, we are going to stand before him as a church? Don't believe all that nonsense. About when you get to heaven, there'll be a place for your church. There'll be a place. There's nothing like that, because God doesn't want problems in heaven. If you take this church thing to heaven, heaven I say, Osru and he may go. Thankfully, this nonsense where we are so divided and we seem to be so much against each other. Thankfully, we are not carrying that thing there. We're not going to stand before the Lord as Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family or whatever church or ministry you belong to. You stand there as an individual. So let's strive to do what we are supposed to do. Like this 10 bridesmaids, you know, I don't know, maybe they were sisters or whatever. They were all bridesmaids. Now, maybe one of them noticed that my friend is not taking extra oil. So why should I bother to take extra? Why? We are all going for the same wedding and everything. She is not taking, it's a Yejuma. So it's not taking, so I also won't take. He's not going, so I also won't go. He's not coming, so I also won't come. And there's a lot of that with many Christians. But at the end of the day, you see that five of them were wise. They didn't look at what the others didn't do and let it affect what they were supposed to do. The others didn't take extra oil for whatever reason. But inside, actually, we don't know what is going to happen. So let's be prepared. Let's do our best. Let's carry extra oil with us. They did what they were supposed to do, and they did not allow themselves to be influenced by what the others did not do. Am I speaking to somebody tonight?
Yeah.
Then the last thing that I want to say to you regarding the parable of the 10 bridesmaids is that in this life, now some of these lessons are not very major lessons, but they are important lessons. But I just as I read through and studied and meditated on this, the scripture spoke to me. And this is the last point, the last lesson from this parable, that in this life, we will go through similar challenges. So do not overhype yours. I'll say it again. In this life, we will go through similar challenges and situations. So don't overhype what you are going through. In this life, we will go through similar challenges and situations. Do not overhype. Like, this is something that jumped out at me. So if you look at verse 5 of Matthew 25, it says in the New Living Translation, when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. How many of them became drowsy? How many fell asleep? And this was when the bridegroom delayed. That means that the situation of the delay of the bridegroom affected all of them. So when the bridegroom delayed, it affected the wise ones and the foolish ones. Same situation. When the bridegroom delayed, they all became drowsy and they all fell asleep. Same situation. Now, sometimes in life, you may feel that somebody's situation is better than yours. In a certain sense, it's true. In a certain sense, it's true. But in another sense, it is very easy to look at people and feel that everything is okay for them. Maybe because they don't look a certain way. They don't talk in a certain way. They don't present themselves in a certain way. They don't carry themselves in a certain way. But I'm saying something important to you. That do not make the mistake of thinking that it is rosy for some and you are the unfortunate one. You are the deprived one. You are the cursed one. You are the one whose head is not good. Get to a place in your life where you stop thinking in that way. Otherwise, you will go through life with a victim mentality. I think I preached a sermon here like that to that effect. You can go through life with a victim mentality where it's like, I'm the unfortunate one. I am cursed. I have misfortune. People don't go through what I'm going through. It's not true. It's not true. When you interrogate things, you may find out that actually what you are going through, a lot of people are going through them. It's just that you think that the end of the world has come. But others are finding a way to just maneuver and press on. Look, if some people start telling you what they've been through and what they are going through, in fact, you may actually now give them an offering. Because then you realize that, hey, so here you are very bored with your husband, very bored with your wife. It's like, and every time you are lamenting, me kuno onye nye 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 nye, me yeri oye begi for. And what you don't know is that a lot of people go through, you know, challenges. Because marriage comes with challenges. A lot of people go through challenges. It's just that people find a way to just maneuver and make the best out of their situation. But you always have a mindset of, it's too bad, it's too wild.
I wish I were dead.
Why
is all this happening to me?
Why is it me alone, this, me alone, that, me alone, this, me alone, that? You can get to a place in your life where that is how your mind works. But I'm pointing out something to you. You know, in that parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder in Matthew chapter 7, that's the guy who built his house upon the rock and the one who built his house upon the sand. All of them, they experienced the vicissitudes of the weather. They experienced the same conditions. Oh, the rain came. The winds blew vehemently. The floods rose. Both of them experienced it. It wasn't like because this one built on the rock, the conditions he experienced were different from the one who built on the sand. That's not what it was. They all went through the same challenges. They all went through the same issues. But at the end of the day, one stood. The one who built his house on the rock, his house stood. And the one who built his house on the sand came tumbling down. But make no mistake, they all went through similar challenges. And that's how it is in this life. So I'm just saying this to all of us, that whatever you are going through, never assume that you are the only one who is having those issues. Never feel that you are cursed and you are an unfortunate person, that you were born at the wrong time to the wrong family. And oh, you look, you can think all kinds of crazy thoughts and in the wrong country. Feel that everything about me is wrong. That me alone, nothing works out for me. And may I point out to you that there are others who are in similar situation, have been through similar challenges, but they've persevered and they've pressed on and they've done their best and they have come through, they have overcome and they've made it and they have survived. And you too, you can make it. And you too, you can survive. Put away that defeatist mentality and that victim posture. Put it away. And rise up. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through and everything, tell yourself that I can make it and survive. I can overcome. I can climb over this mountain. I can sail through this storm. Tell yourself that I can make it. And always remind yourself, I can do all things through Christ. So, it's okay. Whatever you've been through, going through and all of that, it is not peculiar to you. So believe God, trust God, press on, do the best you can to come out of it. And God is helping you. So don't push his hand away. Because you know, sometimes you're trying to help people, but you realize that they are not embracing the help that you are giving to them. Because there's something in their minds. Their minds are too fixated on what they are going through, and they cannot see a way out of it. So, I don't know what God has said to you today, what the Spirit of God is touched your heart about. Because when you sit in a service like that, so many different things are said. But sometimes there's a particular statement, a particular word, which becomes like a rhema for you. Where it's like, this message me, God is speaking. Now, I don't know, of all the things that I've said tonight, which one is a direct message to you. Take it and run with it. Because God is trying to help you. God is trying to straighten up certain things. God is trying to bring you out of certain things so that life will become better and you can begin to enjoy the victory that is your portion through Christ Jesus. May God help us all. I don't think I want to get into the parable of the talents. I think this is enough for today. And I want us to just rise to our feet and just pray and thank God for everything that you've heard today. Let us spend a little time praying, thanking God. Next week, God willing, if Christ tarries, we will talk about the parable of the talents. But tonight, I want you to thank God for everything that you have heard, everything that you have received regarding the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for all that you have heard. So many things have been said. And you want to pray and say, Father, help me to be ready. Help me to wait patiently for you and not to behave like the foolish servant who thought his master was not going to come now and started fooling around and misbehaving. Help me to be ready and to be prepared for your coming in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray that when the Master comes, when our Savior returns, He will come to find that we are anticipating His return and we are ready for Him. That we've patiently waited for Him and we are ready to receive Him and we are prepared to receive Him. In the name of Jesus. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to assume a posture of Jesus is coming soon. So I must be ready and I must be prepared for Him. In the name of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be in a perpetual state of preparedness, that you begin to think and look ahead and plan like the five wise virgins, five wise bridesmaids. They were prepared. They thought ahead. They looked ahead. Pray that you will have that same posture in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray and ask that God deliver me from a situation where you will come and I'll be left out and excluded, where I'll be permanently shut out from the wedding feast. Deliver me, Lord, from that situation. Pray and say, God, help me that I will work out my own salvation with trembling and fear, to understand that each one of us will bear our own burden and that we stand before God as individuals. And so we should not be deceived that we are in a crowd and we are in a group. We will prepare and do what we are supposed to do in the mighty name of Jesus. That we will not let the good that we are supposed to do be influenced by what others are doing or not doing. That we'll keep our focus and our concentration and do what the Lord has shown and revealed to us that we should do. And pray that as you go through this life and you go through different challenges and you face different situations, pray for yourself that you will not overhype what you are going through, but that you recognize that everybody has one challenge or the other that he goes through. And that the important thing is to press on, to trust God and be focused. And by the grace of God, we'll make it and come through the challenges that confront us. Thank the Lord for His word in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it helps. You can draw inspiration from people.
But what becomes a problem is where you are looking at the wrong people who are not inspiring you onto good things, but rather they are affecting the good that you're supposed to do. Don't look at anybody. Thank God for our pastors. But don't look at what, don't let your focus be on the pastor. Your focus must be on Christ and what he's expecting of you. Because sometimes as pastors, we don't do everything that we are supposed to do. Sometimes pastors are not committed. Sometimes pastors are not devoted. Sometimes pastors do not set good examples. But don't look at them and begin to think wrongly. Stop looking at the friends who are not doing what you're supposed to do. So you are in the choir. You realize that some of the choir members are not very committed and devoted. Don't let that affect your commitment and your devotion. Or you're part of an assembly and you realize that when there's anything that we are doing as an assembly, there are many of the assembly members who do not participate with the kind of diligence and zeal that is required. Don't look at that and let it affect your commitment and your zeal. Don't do that. Don't do that. And I believe that God is going to help us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for tonight. Thank you for your word and thank you for what your spirit has impressed on our hearts. We know, Father, that there are more things that he wants to speak to us about. And we are open to receive more knowledge and more understanding and more instruction. I pray for us. I pray for all of us under the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family. Whether we are members or friends or we are partners of this great ministry that you've given to us. I pray that may we be focused, may we be steadfast, may we be diligent, may we be committed to doing what you are asking of us to do. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on anybody else, not on anything, but our eyes should remain fixed, should remain fixated on the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, oh God, to keep that focus and help us to serve God well. Help us to be devoted to the Lord. May our devotion not be affected by what somebody is doing or not doing. May we always remember that we are individuals, and even though we are all tagging along, when we stand before you, we will stand as individuals. Help us to position ourselves aright in the mighty name of Jesus. And may you, our master, be pleased with us when you return. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.